giving, ultimately leading to David, who leads to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. J. Vernon McGee, some of you may know him or heard of him. He was a very popular radio preacher for many, many years, and he preached through the Bible. And in his commentary on Ruth, he calls it the romance of redemption. So pretty similar, but I think you're going to get the idea as we go through it. If you found it, the book of Ruth, I want to read the first chapter because that's what we're going to be looking at today. So Ruth chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So we know the time period when it happened. It happened during the period of the judges. And there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And of course, the Moabites were the descendants from Lot's daughter. And you remember that was an incestuous relationship from which the Moabites came. And of course, remember Balak, the king of Moab, had hired Balaam, wanted to curse the children of Israel. And so they had a very tumultuous relationship down through the years, the Jews and the Moabites, as well as the Amorites, which were the other descendants from Lot. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go and return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them until they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, you know, when you think about it, if there were no Moabites, there'd have been no Ruth. It's kind of interesting how God can work in the lives and circumstances of people to accomplish his purpose. You know, even when you think of the birth of Christ, only God could come up with that idea that he himself would be born of a virgin. And so God does things, as he says in Isaiah 55, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth are his ways and his thoughts above us. So, you know, I think all of us would say, you know, I just really can't figure out God. Well, quit trying. Because we're never going to fully understand all the things of God. It is our job simply to believe and to have faith. I know that God spoke the worlds into existence. I don't know how he did that, but he did it. Yeah. I just believe it. Amen. So I found the best thing to do is not to argue with God, not to argue with his word. And there's parts that I read and I say, Lord, I don't understand it. And I ask him, help me to understand it. And he does. But I realize I'm not going to have it all figured out until one day in glory when the Lord decides to reveal to us things. But until then, I'm just going to trust the Lord. I want you to look at the people that are involved here in this story. Elimelech, he's the husband. And Elimelech's name means, my God is king. Now, based on the decisions that they made, it certainly didn't act like their God was king, did it? You know what in the book of Judges, you know what it says? Every man did that which seemed right in his own eyes. There was no priesthood. Doesn't talk about a priesthood in the book of Ruth. And when you read the book of the Judges, you know how chaotic it was. There was no central authority, no rule. So everybody just did what they thought was right. Kind of sounds like America today, doesn't it? Let's just do what we think is right. And you know, people, I've got an answer. I really do. I have the answer to the dilemma that we're facing in America. And you don't hear anything about it in the news. The politicians don't talk about it. They say we need more money. We got to give the people more money. We got to give them free education. We got to give them free this and free that. A booster shot after that to deal with this. Got to come up with more vaccines. Now you're going to need a booster shot and maybe a booster shot after that to deal with this COVID-19. No, all America needs to do is repent. Amen. Amen. Repent and say to God, get on our knees and say, we have sinned against you. Because that's what it tells us to do in 2 Chronicles, doesn't it? That if God's people, which are called by his name, humble themselves and pray and seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, God says what? I'll hear from heaven, and I'll forgive the sin, and I'll heal the land. And there's the solution. But you know what? The people of America don't want to hear that solution. And our politicians don't want to hear it. Anyway, Elimelech, my God is king. Naomi, her name means pleasant. And it's one that has a very positive outlook. That's how it began. Mahlon means unhealthy. Chilion means puny. So she's got two sons that she's going to take down to Moab. One is sickly and one is puny. And Bethlehem, Judah, means the house of bread or the house of praise. And then Moab, in Psalm 108:9, God says, Moab is my washpot. Or you might say the garbage can. So they left the house of bread to go and eat at the garbage dump. Kind of reminds you of the prodigal son who had it all, but he gave it all up and he squandered it all. Isn't that the way people do sometimes? God has a blessing for us, but we say, no, I would rather do it my way. I want to do it on my terms. And we're going to find out as we go through this story, which is a tremendous story of love between Boaz and Ruth. But there's consequences when we disobey God, when we're in rebellion to God. Orpah is a name some say means either fawn or deer, so maybe she was very athletic. Ruth is a name that is associated with beauty and personality of character. And Boaz, his name is something that represents strength. And of course, we know that he was a very wealthy man. So it's in the days of the judges, there's a famine in the land. Some have suggested it may have been in the days of Gideon. Because you remember there was the Midianites had come and there's a great famine in the land. and how they were hiding from the Midianites, and then God raised up Gideon to be one of the judges or the deliverers there in Israel. And again, every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. No central authority. You know, they had God's law, but they didn't have anybody to enforce it. Doesn't that make you think about America today? We've got laws, but we won't enforce them. And all of you know everything that's going on, and I watch Fox News a lot. If I didn't watch Fox News, I wouldn't know some of this stuff, because you never get it on the other news channels. But people that were involved in what they want to call the riot or the insurrection, which it was not, some of these people are in jail, and they've not been accused of a crime. They're just holding them, and maybe sometime next year to go to court. And yet we have people that go out and literally burn buildings, hurt people, trash businesses, do all kinds of stuff, and they don't even arrest them. They just let them go. And I think, boy, we've got laws, but no enforcement. And so here in Israel, they had the same thing. They had laws, but no one enforced it. They didn't have any priests to guide the people. You remember the one man in the book of Judges, that he got his own priest. He made his own little priesthood with his family. And so that's what they were doing, just doing what they thought was right. But we could see that, you know, you can have laws, but there's not going to be any order unless you enforce those laws. Spiritual apostasy, idol worship. And, you know, that was a big part of what the Moabites had done, in the days when Balaam came. And ultimately, what did they do? They seduced the men of Israel, and they begin to marry the women of the Moabites. And what did they do? They introduced idolatry, and they introduced things that were contrary to the law of God. And so God, you know, pronounced judgment on the nation of Moab. And so we're living in a world today where we want to just set aside the, just like the Jews. Jesus said to the Jews, "You have laid aside the commandments of God, and in place of the commandments of God, you have put the traditions of men." He says, so you honor the traditions of men, but you disobey the laws of God. And that's kind of the way the world operates. That's the way we're operating today. You know, I'm thankful that our nation, it was based on, I believe, God's word and God's law. We had, I'm not saying our founding fathers were perfect, but they had a fear of God. They had a love of the word of God. And so our laws reflect, you know, the law and the truth that is taught in the Bible. And yet we've got so far now away from that, going away from the word of God. So we could see very many parallels that we can compare what was going on there to what was going on now with us. So there they are. And I want you to begin to see now what is going to begin to take place. So they go from the house of bread to the garbage dump. They take their two sickly sons. They end up marrying these girls, Orpah and Ruth, from Moab. And of course, they're there for 10 long years. You remember the old saying that, how's it go? Sin will take you places you don't want to go, and sin will keep you there longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And that's what she found out. So you see that when we disobey God, there's a response. And God is going to discipline. Naomi makes it clear that what has happened to her is a judgment of God. Because she says, God has brought all this upon me. Why? Because she had disobeyed God. They had left where they should have stayed. And you know, isn't it interesting? You and I, I'm sure, are guilty at times of making decisions without asking God about it. It doesn't say they got down and they said, well, Lord, there's a famine in the land. What do you think we should do? No, they came up with their own plan. And so many even Christians devise their own plan for their life. And then when it doesn't go the way they had hoped, because often the plans we make bring us to disobedience to God's word, and then we begin to suffer the consequences. Well, you know what? We need to begin everything by prayer. Right. What is your will? Yes. even as James said, you say, I'm going to go, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to go into another city, and I'm going to do some commerce, and hopefully I'm going to make some money. And he says, don't say that I'm going to go here or go there, but say first, if the Lord wills. Amen. What is the Lord's will? When I moved out here a little over about 2.5 years ago, I spent much time in prayer. Lord, what should we do? Because, you know, my wife, Edith, you know, was going through something, aphasia, a form of dementia, and wanting to know, Lord, how can we cope with this? That's why I had to resign my church, because Edith needed someone around her all the time, and I couldn't be there. And so it opened up with my daughter that we could come out here. So it was something we spend a lot of time in prayer in. We just didn't get up one day and say, well, let's go and let's move to Idaho. Who wants to move to Idaho anyway when you live in Illinois? You're not thinking about Idaho way out there. But we prayed about it. And God has blessed us. God has brought us to a great church, to a great pastor, to a great fellowship of believers. You know, my time is half gone, and I'm just rambling on here, it seems like. So let me get going. So their situation is going to go from bad to worse. So here they go down there, and then what happens? Her husband dies, then her two sons dies, and then she's there for 10 years. And so instead of walking by faith, they're walking by sight. She thinks somehow Moab is going to be better, but sin always disappoints. You know, we're to be careful of the deceitfulness of sin. Anything, you know, I like the little thing. We tell the kids, child evangelism, I think, may have came up with this, a definition for sin that a child can understand. Anything that I think, anything that I say, anything that I do that violates the word of God is sin. And, you know, sin is always going to disappoint. So the things we think that are sin, if we act on those things, it's going to ultimately disappoint us. James talks about, what, sin is conceived by lust, things that we want to do, and the end result is what? Death. Never leads to anything good. It's always going to be negative. But I'm so thankful we have a God that can take all of our bad mistakes and all of our failures, and he can forgive us, and he can redeem us. You know, the years that the locusts had eaten, Joel said, God can restore. So we might make a mess of our lives. You know what? There might be someone here, I don't think there is, but could be someone here that's up in age and never trusted Christ, has made a mess of your life. God says, I can still now start where you're at, and all the years that you wasted, I could restore, and I could do something good in the future. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so we have a forgiving God. You know, this whole situation, as it's going to play out, Boaz is going to marry Ruth, a Moabitess, which is actually forbidden by law. They're not supposed to intermarry. You know, it talks about in Deuteronomy how God had placed not a curse but a pronouncement that up to 10 generations a Moabite could not come into the congregation. I've got news for you. We're in the period of Judges. 10 generations has not passed. So for them to do what they did was actually a violation of the law of God. But remember what the theme of Judges is. I'm going to do what seems right in my own eyes. Now, the kinsman redeemer, that was legal. That was binding, and we'll talk about that later on. But I'm so glad that when we make mistakes and the sin takes us where we don't want to go, and then we realize that there's a cost for it, if we are willing to get on our knees and tell God, I've sinned, confess what? Confess our sins before God, and what does he do? He'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have an advocate in the righteous one, the Lord Jesus, and his blood cleanses us from all of our sin. So here they are, and thinking that maybe this is going to be better, like the prodigal, they end up eating in the pig pen. They find out there's a consequence for sin. And now she hears God has provided bread in Israel. Because she says, the hand of the Lord in verse 13, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. You know, it's good to return unto the Lord. She's got away from God. 10 years, if you will, in the wilderness. 10 years going her own way. And then her husband dies, and then her sons die. And she says, the hand of the Lord is against me. But she realizes now the Lord has provided bread in Bethlehem. And you see, if we get away from God, you could be a child of God, you get away from God, you're allowing things in your life that are not consistent with what God wants. If you realize, hey, I'm eating in the pig pen, I can go back, as the prodigal did, to the Father's house, and there's bread and there's food there. This is an idea of repenting. You see, she's realizing I'm in the wrong place. I've made the wrong decision. I'm going to go back just like the prodigal did. And we can do that at any time if we're willing to acknowledge that we've made a mistake, we've went in the wrong direction, then God will help us. God will forgive us, and we can really begin to see God work in our lives once again. I want you to notice when she told the daughters-in-law, I want you to go back. They both wept. They both cried. No, we don't want to do that. We want to stay with you. And eventually, Orpah did go back. But Ruth, as we'll see, said, no, I'm going to stay with you. And I think what we see there is a picture of true conversion and false conversion. Because there are a lot of people, and there's so many illustrations, the parable of the sower, you know, some it falls among thorns and in the stony places, and they initially, they rise up with joy. Oh, this is great. But then they fall away. And, you know, she said, I want to go back with you. But then she became convinced by Naomi and by the flesh, this is a better option to go back. You know, you think about it for a moment. How spiritual was Naomi? Go back to your people and their gods. I mean, would we advise anyone to do that? Go back to your heathenism? Go back to your pagan worship? We wouldn't do that. But you have to remember, this is a time in the period of the people of God, in the period of the judges, they're doing what seems to make common sense. Common sense isn't always good sense. We may think it is, because the world says this would be the right thing to do. But if it's contrary to the word of God, it's never the right thing to do if you're going to disobey the word of God. And so we don't always need common sense, which I'm not saying is always bad, but we need to have the good sense of what the Lord wants for us to do. And so then anyway, she says, she's going back and she says, don't call me Naomi, but Mara. Mara is a word that means bitterness. She says, the Lord's hand is against me. I went out full. I've come back empty. So she says, don't call me Naomi, pleasant, because her attitude had changed. I'm miserable. And that's what sin will do. Sin will rob you of your joy. Sin will make you miserable. Sin will make you unhappy. And that's where she was. And of course, she says, she saw the Lord's hand in it. She recognized I disobeyed God, and I'm seeing the consequences. And she says, I went out full. I was happy, full of joy, and there was famine in the land. And so I came up with this plan, and now I'm coming back. I got nothing. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you can have all of the riches of this world, like the farmer who said, I'm going to build bigger barns because I've got so much goods coming out of the fields. And I'm going to have bigger barns, and then I'm going to build bigger barns, and then I'm going to say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. So you may think, oh, I'm going to get all of the things of the world. I got a feeling if we could talk to some of the rich people that have died without Christ, they would tell you what fools they were. Because the world said, you've got it all. They used to joke, back in the day when Howard Hughes had died, they say, how much did Howard Hughes leave behind? He left every penny. Didn't take any. You're not going to bring any of it. You know, you don't see any U-Hauls, do you? No. Following the hearse, taking all your possessions to bury with you? No. And so there she was. She went out full. She came back empty. Ruth, she cleaved unto Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Where thou diest, I will die. There will I be buried. Only death will part us. And of course, Ruth and those words are talked a lot about at weddings, that we make that commitment, unto death do we part. And it's kind of a shame that over 50% of marriages fail. Those promises are broken that are made there at the altar before God. And I think they say it's something like 40% of Christian marriages fail. And they make those same commitments before God. I think a lot of people don't realize, and Pastor knows, you always have people come and they say, hey, I'm looking for a church to get married in. Will you do the service for us? And I would say those that come from the outside, probably 90%, I end up refusing. Because, you see, I wouldn't be involved in any marriage that didn't have God at the center of it. They have to be saved. And I've had people, even as we go through the process, they'll pray to receive Christ. They'll come to church. They'll come to Sunday school. They'll be baptized. And you do the wedding on that Saturday when it finally comes, and you never see them again. And I think, why would people do that? Because somehow in their mind, it's important to be married in a church. And I think it is important to be married by a minister of God. But when you come together, it's a commitment to the Lord. Marriage, we call it holy matrimony, something that is special and sacred and set apart. And Jesus gave some very strict instructions about marriage and remarriage and divorce. But so many take it for granted. But you know, we need to have that mindset that Ruth had. Don't ask me to leave. That's the way it ought to be between husbands and wives if you're committed to Christ. Don't ask me to leave. No matter what's going on, I believe this with all my heart. With God's grace, whatever you're going through can be worked out. Amen. She said, your God's going to be my God. Don't ask me to go back to the gods of the Moabites. No, I want to worship your God. Amos said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? In 2 Corinthians, he tells us not to be unequally yoked for a believer to marry a non-believer. In 1 Corinthians 7, he talks about remarriage, or if one dies or deserts. If you remarry, it can only be in the Lord. The Lord must be the center of that marriage and of that home. And so we have to put him first in all things. So don't ask me to leave. Need to be determined. No matter what comes, by God's grace, we're going to work it out. Do marriages go through hard times, Christian marriages? Sure they do. Are we put to the test? Are we tried? Are there difficulties that come up? Yes. But if we'll always be focused on the Lord, that's what will keep that marriage together. She said, your God is going to be my God. And I might just say, and jokingly, when you marry someone, you marry the whole family. She said, your people will be my people. We're going to find later on that Boaz, he did a deep dive into finding out about Ruth. He knew all about her before it ever got to that point of marriage. I'll tell you, sometimes we need to do a deep dive, and we need to look at what we're marrying into. Because there's problems that can arise. Blended families, God bless them, and they can make it, they can do it, but they have their own set of issues that they're gonna deal with. And so we need to have that attitude that Ruth had. So Naomi comes back now, and they said, oh, look, it's Naomi. And, you know, I understand that. If we have a prodigal in our family, in our church, and what did the father do? He killed the fatted calf, and let's have a celebration. The prodigal has returned. But you know, sometimes when people get away from God, they're going to be different than when they left. And we have to realize that. And we have to deal with it appropriately. Certainly, we welcome them back. But there may be some difficulties they have to overcome. You know, Emmy, my little granddaughter, was here for vacation Bible school. She loved it, by the way. And things I didn't even realize, but her older sister died of cancer about 3 years ago. And so when she died, Emmy was about 4 years old. And I don't even know how to put it, but she struggles with it. Little kid. Because of that traumatic experience, has emotional problems and things, and has to see a counselor that my daughter has her with, a Christian counselor, helping her to work through those things. So what I'm trying to say, I know I'm kind of getting off of Ruth in a sense and talking about, you know, marriage and about people that become prodigals and then come back. We may not know why they were in the when they were in the wilderness, what they've experienced, and we don't know what hurt. In other words, Naomi came back and they said, "We want the old Naomi, pleasant and happy and outgoing and always a positive attitude." Well, someone maybe go out from us, and after they've experienced all that sin is Satan is going to do, they may come back, maybe it's not a good word, as damaged goods, and they really need some love and some encouragement and some help. So that is about as far as we can go today. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this portion of Scripture. I know there's much to be learned here, and I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts, and may we learn not to do what seems right in our own eyes, for that's the way that leads to death, but help us to have a willingness and a desire like Ruth to want to do what is right. So bless the rest of our day. Bless Pastor as he comes to preach, and we give you thanks for all that you do here. In Jesus' name, amen.